Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us, and I'm glad you're here. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you would like to call and join us, just give us a call, and we'll be glad to talk to you. Steve Chandler is my guest, and we're going to be talking about some things that I think you'll find interesting today. And Steve is the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, Change Your Life Forever, and also another book called Reinventing Yourself, How to Create the Person You've Always Wanted to Be. Steve is a corporate consultant to many small businesses, as well as many Fortune 500 companies. And in addition to being the author of those books, he teaches companies courses in morale, self-motivation, innovative thinking, and increasing individual productivity. He is our friend and a member of our Brain Trust. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you with us. And you know, one of the things that you and I have in common is a military background.
Yes.
And you spent a lot of time in the PSYOP division of the Army, didn't you?
That's right, psychological warfare.
Psychological warfare. And I didn't spend my career there, but I took quite a few of those courses in my officer training.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, something that I find interesting, Steve, is that, and I tell people this, every day of my career, I use the training that I got in the Army. Mm-hmm. I use something that I learned in the Army every day. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
Yeah, and I think in real subtle ways we use it, but we use it.
Yeah, no question about it. What did your experience with in the psychological warfare, how did that prepare you for the marketplace?
Well, you know, it's really fascinating that you say what you just said, because I think discipline is so foreign to our culture and our society.
Today it is.
Yes, it is. And when we get some of it from a football coach or from the Army or something like that, it's so precious. When we learn it, learn how it works, learn how it improves our lives every time and every way, it's just so precious. That's why you use your Army training.
No question about it. And one of the things that I use all the time, that I tell myself and I tell others whenever it's appropriate to come up, is as an officer, I was trained that I was responsible for everything my unit did or failed to do.
Yes.
And when you go through life like that, you're a more responsible person than if you've never heard that before.
Well, and the other thing is, you're a more creative problem solver if that's your attitude. If you own a small business and you take the attitude, if there's a problem, I'm the problem. If mm-hmm. there's any problem here, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get to be the solution. But when I own a small business or running any kind of enterprise and I'm blaming others and I'm wringing my hands and hoping other people will improve or do better for me, I have no creativity. I've got no leverage to improve things.
Right. Well, you know, you're talking about discipline. So many things, and I think you're probably pretty close to my age, and so many things today are cool with the kids because they're retro.
Yeah.
And it's almost like discipline is a retro cool thing, isn't it, sometimes?
That's right. It really is.
and it's like, wow, who would have thought of this? I wonder if Dad knows about this.
Well, you know, in a funny inside-out way, that's the appeal of gangs. The real appeal of gangs is because they have heroes and leaders and discipline and ritual.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody has certain things that are expected of them.
Right.
And what do we do? How do we get that back into our culture and into the marketplace today?
I think the most important thing is awareness of it. I think a lot of us growing up, the words discipline and responsibility were used against us. So we have a kind of emotional grudge against them. We associate them with my father being mad at me and mm-hmm. things like that. But once we can just set that aside and say, look, these concepts are here to serve me. They serve me. Then I think we can turn it around, and I think awareness is the key. I think there are a lot of great things happening in the world now where people are so much more aware
mm-hmm.
of their own power than they used to be. I find it even in people who receive my books or buy my books and then get back to me on email, or people who hear me on your radio show and get to me somehow. What's exciting to them is just simple concepts of self-discipline and responsibility.
How is it manifesting itself in their lives? Can you give us some examples?
Well, I got an email from someone the other day who said he got reinventing yourself, and he always thought self-help books were for people who were messed up or low self-esteem or couldn't get their lives together. And he finally realized it's not that at all. It's for people who want to grow and improve. And he was able to see ways and techniques inside the book that he could use immediately in his life.
He didn't think it was for a really cool guy like him, right?
That's right. Yeah, and that's my whole point, is there doesn't have to be anything wrong with you for you to get better at something. You don't have to identify yourself as dysfunctional in order to reach out for a book on how to make your business better or how to make more money.
Well, plus the fact that you forget things. You get lazy and you lapse into things. I have a sales training program that I deliver to companies, and it never concerns me that there may be a grizzled old veteran in the audience who knows more than I do.
Right.
Because I've had those grizzled old veterans come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I learned what you just told me 20 years ago, but I hadn't thought about it in 15. Thank you for reminding me.
Yes, that's exactly true. You know, I was looking at some recent studies that show in order to really get something into your system, you have to hear it or read it 7 times. 6 times is not enough.
Well, not only read it, and you have to use it.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. And that's what I think one of the reasons why I think that small business owners need to hear Steve Chandler and other people on a daily basis on shows like this, because we get so busy, we get so tied up with all the alligators that are biting at us, that we lapse into reacting instead of proacting with the fundamentals.
That's exactly right. Most of our input that we get, most of our communication, is complaint.
Yeah.
And it drags us down and makes us discouraged.
It's either complaint, or it's confrontational, or it's aggressive, or it's scary.
That's right.
Threatening is the word I should have used.
And unless we have a systematic way to refresh our basic principles and our basic operating software, it'll go away.
And Steve, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Chandler, author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself and Reinventing Yourself, is just the guy to do it. And we're going to keep doing that as we continue the hour. Right now, we've got to take a quick break, though. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I love this stuff. I can't get enough of it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve Chandler is our guest, and we're awfully glad to have him with us. Steve, we're talking about how to get things turned around in our lives. And one of the things that in our businesses that we need to be able to do is surround ourselves with good people.
Yes.
That's critical, isn't it?
I think that's critical, and I think that the most important element in those good people is not their skill, because we're going to assume that you're going to take care of that and find someone whose skill level is what you need. But the most important element is attitude and spirit. You're talking about spirit. But if you've got spirited people around you who your customers really love talking to and can't and will take a call from because it's always an enjoyable experience, that means so much to your business.
No question about it. And I'll tell you, I've said this on the show before, and I'm going to say it again. When I look for new employees, I look for two things, and one of them has spirit in it, and one of them is intelligence, and the second is attitude.
Yes.
And I'm talking about good attitude. If I've got an intelligent person and I've got someone with a good attitude, we can train them to do anything.
Right.
And that will last you longer. That is a better investment. If I have somebody who's not really, doesn't seem all that motivated, but they know absolutely everything that I need them to know already, and there's this other person who's green as a gourd, but they're smart and they've got a good attitude and they're hungry, they're eager, I'll choose the second person.
Yeah. That's smart, because if your prospect or your customer is trying to decide whose call to return, they're always going to return the call of the person who makes them happy to talk to.
That's right.
And we underrate that so much throughout the day, this thing of making other people happy. It is the source of business.
Well, and how many times does a customer call up and they've got a complaint And maybe they even say what their complaint is, but what they're saying is not really what's wrong.
Right.
And it takes somebody with spirit, it takes somebody with a good attitude to recognize that. And if someone has a good spirit, what that means is that they're eager to plug into this other person's spirit. And,
right.
and to meet them more than halfway. And what they'll actually do is say, they won't even tell the customer, well, that's not really what's wrong. That's not, you don't really know what's wrong. Here's what's wrong. The customer never even knows that they flipped it over and is just addressing what's really wrong.
That's right. And it can be such a huge opportunity to have a customer who's unhappy with something. The way they're handled, the way they're treated at that moment can create a customer for life.
Well, and you call those employees that we're just talking about owners.
I call them owners because they take ownership for their own happiness. They take full ownership for whether they're going to have a great day, and they're not victims. I call the other type of person in the workplace a victim, and we all know who those are. They complain all the time. They're victims of circumstance. They're always pointing the finger. They're always having a bad day. And
every change that hits them is bad.
Oh yeah,
their attitude is bad. And in fact, I was talking to someone last week Steve Martin was on last week. We were talking about change. He said a survey that they did that was conducted once said 2 out of 3 people react negatively to change.
Yeah.
And so these people are in that group for sure, aren't they?
Well, that's really true. And the people who react most negatively to change are the people who are not changing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They have fixed a permanent personality for themselves. They're hiding inside of it. So when they see the world changing around them, it really terrifies them.
Well, and it threatens them.
Yeah.
And they react negatively, and they create a negative force field around them. And when you touch that, when you touch them or you get near them, you're going to be influenced by that, aren't you?
Yeah. That's why I like the younger generation. I think the one quality that our younger generation has that is superior to my generation and yours is absolute fearlessness when it comes to the future.
Mm-hmm.
I find younger people, when you've got to introduce a new software program or a new tax code or new this or new that, they're real excited. They think it's cool. And they say, what's that? Let's try it out.
Well, but think of, you know, and I'm not trying to defend our generation, but think of how we grew up. I mean, we literally grew up in being raised by people who were part of the Depression era.
Oh, yes. Well,
and we have had to continue to be successful in the information age. And so we've had to spread ourselves between two different, completely different worlds, haven't we?
Exactly.
Yeah. Stand by, Steve. Folks, when we come back, we got some more things to talk about. Steve calls them owners. I call them entrepreneurs, and I'm going to tell you why I do that in just a minute. It's 29 after the hour. We'll be right back with Steve Chandler. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, have a question or a comment, give us a call. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Steve Chandler is our guest. And I have in front of me 20 ways to a happier life. And every so often I've been reading a couple of these, a few of these, Steve. And here's one I'm going to read. It's number 3, part of the 20 ways to a happier life. Be the first to say hello.
Mm.
I like this list. It's a good list.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Steve, we're talking about how to surround ourselves with good people and how to identify people that would be good employees, and you call them owners, and I don't disagree with you at all, but I like the word entrepreneur, and I'll tell you why. I had someone recently to say, why don't you call this the Entrepreneur Advocate Show instead of the Small Business Advocate Show? And I said, well, because you can be an entrepreneur and not be a small business owner.
Right.
And that person hadn't thought about that. And she said, hey, I see what you mean. And, of course, obviously, small business owners are entrepreneurs. No question about that. That's intuitive. That's understood. But your employees can be entrepreneurs. And I like to use that word because it doesn't mean that they're on their own in business. It means that they're on their own in their job. They're taking total responsibility. When you're an entrepreneur, to me, it's two things. Number one, you're a risk taker. And number two, you're taking responsibility.
I agree with that. And I think that the way I phrase it in my seminars is it's you incorporated. No matter who you work for, even if you're working for IBM.
I like that.
Really, it's you incorporated. It's your career. It's your day. It's your... Everything is you incorporated. If you could see it that way, it would be very exciting. You wouldn't see yourself as a victim.
Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that we hire these kinds of these quality kinds of employees?
Well, there are two factors in hiring which are so important. Number one, when I consult with people on their hiring problems, the first thing I find out is they don't spend enough time talking to the person they're about to hire.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like, I'm busy, I'm trying to fill this position, I'm seeing two people this afternoon, I really don't have time to see them, but I know I should. And so you spend 20 minutes with each person, you look over their resumes, and you just sort of, on a gut feeling, hire one.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got an employee who could be a problem employee for the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And only because you didn't have 20 more minutes to talk to them, you really would have seen the red flags. What happens when an employer interviews an employee, take as much time as you humanly can, because that's going to be the most important decision you make all year, and you might as well take time. And the longer you're with the person, you'll either feel better and better and better about the person, or those little red flags you're getting, those little things where the employee is starting to sound a little bit like a victim, you've got to pay attention to those, because those are telling you that you shouldn't be hiring this person.
One of the things that I'd like to recommend that you think about, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here, Steve. Let's say that you've got this barrel of apples, and in that barrel of apples are the two most important groups in your professional life. All thrown in together, they're all mixed together, are your employees, your good employees that you couldn't do without, and your customers, your good customers that you cannot do without, and they're all in that barrel, and along comes this other apple that wants to get in that barrel. And so, you know, I know you're way ahead of me, folks. Are you going to drop this rotten apple into that barrel and spoil all the other apples? To me, that's the way to think about it. I mean, if you've got a good organization, I think you've got a responsibility to those employees to maintain that kind of quality in your organization, and it's your job, it's one of your main jobs, is to make sure that if you add someone to this barrel, that they're the kind of apple that will fit in.
I agree with you 100%.
Yep.
I mean, and how many times does your employee at the lowest pay level do more to turn off your customers all day than the owner of the business?
Yeah. And don't forget now, folks, those apples in that barrel, they're the only thing between you and being homeless or starving to death. So that's how critical it is. Okay. Let's move over and talk about something a little bit different than I know you got on your mind, Steve. What do you think in today's world, in today's marketplace, what do you think is the main problem salespeople face in trying to achieve the best results in sales?
The number one problem is fear. What I see when I do sales seminars and work with salespeople one-on-one is they have fear that they don't know what to do with, and they don't want to acknowledge it, they don't want to admit it, but here's how it shows up. They do not have full communications with people. They look for excuses not to get back to people. They'll look for a way to email or fax someone instead of talking to them in person. They're intimidated. They're afraid they're taking someone's time. And it's really a negative feedback loop that just keeps spiraling down. If they can't confront it, and if they can't really see it for what it is, there's nothing they can do with it. And they end up deciding, I shouldn't be in sales. I keep getting rejected. I hate this. And all they had to do was acknowledge that there's a tremendous fear of other people at play here. And if I can set that aside and use a simple technique to get around it, then I can use that in the rest of my life as well.
All right. I want you to tell us about that technique in just a second, and when we come back after this break. But the thing is, we need to recognize that this technological world that we have today is actually giving those people more opportunities to fail out there.
That's right.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that when we come back, folks. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Steve Chandler, the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself and Reinventing Yourself. Two different books. Check them out. Steve Chandler. We're back. 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Steve Chandler is our guest. He's a member of our Brain Trust and one of our good friends, and we appreciate him giving us his time and his information. Steve, your book, 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, and your other book, Reinventing Yourself. Tell us where they're available.
Well, they're fortunately, even though they're hardcover books, they're still in almost all the major book chains.
Well, there's a good reason for that.
Yeah.
They're really good books.
Well, and they're selling well, and I'm really, really delightfully surprised at how well they keep selling.
I don't know why you're surprised. I can see why you'd be delighted, but not surprised. Which one has gone over 100,000? I've forgotten.
The first one, 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, has now sold over 100,000 copies.
Wow.
And
isn't that one in different languages, too?
It's now in Japanese and Chinese. It's doing very well in China and Japan. And you know, they keep sending me these Japanese and Chinese copies of it. They look wonderful. Of course, I can't read them or proofread them.
Now, I can't prove this. I don't know that anybody's actually listening in China, but if they want to, they can, because we're worldwide over the Internet.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know,
who
knows?
You are one of the few shows that I'm on regularly, so I have to credit your show a lot with how well those books are selling.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we sold at least 90,000 of those 100,000 right here in the last year or so.
that might be a little bold.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. I can't be gracious, can I? Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Well, we do what we can, but they're both available in bookstores. They're available online.
Online, yeah. Amazon.com, BN, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com. You can get them. Actually, you can get them faster and cheaper that way.
Yeah.
I hope the bookstores aren't listening.
Well, they are, and they're really mad. Steve, also, you've got an email address that if anyone would like to contact you, either before or after they read your book, and I know you get a lot of email from people who have read your book and who want to tell you about how much they enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love corresponding by email. It's 100ways@compuserve.com.
Okay, 100, that's the numbers, 100.
The number 100.
100ways.
Yeah.
At CompuServe.com. Now, speaking of email, to if you think I'm not the king of segue, moving us right back into the salespeople that you were talking about who have such fear, this fear, when they're afraid, they're looking for a way to sort of get over that fear, sort of get around it, and one of the ways they do that is by sort of not getting back with the people that they're afraid of, so to speak,
right,
the right way, either in person, and so they'll make a phone call and they'll hope they get the answering machine or the voicemail, which they usually do, and that makes them happy. Okay, I've touched that base, now I don't have to get back. Or they send an email and they say, okay, I don't have to worry about that till he gets back with me or whatever. So in some ways, all this technology has, and on some levels, it's kind of hurt the salespeople out there, hasn't it?
Yeah, it gives us a way to keep us apart. In other words, people communicate not to communicate. So they can resemble being a salesperson all day. They can do the things that they think a salesperson would do. But are they selling? Are they breaking records and getting rich and things like that? Well, the answer is no, because they're not doing the primary communication that all sales depend on. But there is one trick that always works. And when I teach it to salespeople, it always works for them if they can remember to do it. And that is contribution. In other words, let's say I'm intimidated and afraid to make a sales call. The psychological trick to use is to ask myself, how can I make a contribution to this person's life?
Add value.
How can I give? What can I give? I want to make a major contribution. I really want to give a lot. I want them to thank me after the call. What can I do? And so I might pick up a book that they would like and bring it to them. I might do a little extra research on their business. I'm always thinking, how can I contribute? How can I contribute? And if I become a giver and not a taker, then I become a great salesperson, because all I'm concerned with is how can I give to this person and help them out.
Giver's gain.
Yes. How can I serve? How can I serve this person? And when I'm in that mindset, I'm creative, I'm giving, I'm loving, I'm warm, and they love to see me. But the minute I start thinking, what am I going to get from this person, from this call, they don't like seeing me because they pick up on that.
I've actually had salespeople call on me and tell me the reason I should buy from them is because they're working on this new promotion that helps them, that will get them a trip or something. You know, and I look at them, and I try not to be, you know, uncharitable, but I say, please explain to me why that's important to me. And I've actually had them look at me like, I can't believe you don't understand that.
What a concept.
Yeah.
Well, you're exactly right. That's a bizarre example, but that's, you know,
what's really bizarre is it's happening more than we even imagine.
Right.
That's the sad part. It's pathetic.
People don't get it.
Yeah. It's pathetic.
They don't get it that if they give, if they serve, if they contribute, the sale will happen.
Well, the thing that you want is you want your customers to think of you as a problem solver. And what I've said on the show before, Steve, and to the different folks that I've worked with in training, is that whenever your customers think of something, even if it's not related to you, but certainly if it's related to what you do, we don't want them to think of your company. We don't want them to think of your product. We want your face to come up in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. And small business owners, that's what you want your customers to think of. You want, we bringing this right back around, Steve, to the hiring the employees, the right employees, you want your customers to imagine one of your employees' face when they have a problem that ultimately your company can solve. But the first thing in their mind is the face or the name of your employee, and then they work toward the solution from there.
That's exactly right. It's a very personal thing, and it always will be.
Yeah. Stand by. We got to take a break. That's the music. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Chandler, the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, which is over 100,000 copies worldwide, and the other book, which is just as good, just a little bit different, Reinventing Yourself. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I've had a great time this hour with our good friend Steve Chandler, the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, Change Your Life Forever. That's one book. The other book is Reinventing Yourself, How to Become the Person You've Always Wanted to Be. They're available in bookstores. They're available online. Check them out, folks. You will not. 100,000 other people can't be wrong. And as I've said before, Steve, on this show many times, we don't have chopped liver for my audience, only the best for my audience.
Well, thank you.
And Steve qualifies. I want to remind you about some other best folks who are coming up. Our next shows are going to include Doug Stives, who's our resident CPA, and he's just gotten back from a tax seminar in Washington, D.C. He's going to tell us about what he learned down there that will help you and your small business. Also, Tim and Paul Berry are going to be joining us again to continue our series on how to create, maintain, and grow a website that includes e-commerce. And a lot of other folks, good stuff coming up the rest of the week, including on Friday, Ivan Meisner is going to be back with us, the president of Business Network International. Steve Chandler, we're talking about a lot of different things, but one of the things I want you to talk about as we wrap up the hour is, how do we keep ourselves motivated when the news is not always good?
I think that there's one foolproof way, and that is to motivate other people, make other people happy and excited, and bring good news to them. There's just no other way to do it. And the more I isolate myself, the more I pace around and worry about bad news, the worse it gets. But if I will just turn it around and say, I'm going to start giving to other people today, I'm going to start giving them mm-hmm. good news, I'm going to start really helping their lives, making them happy, then all of a sudden we find that we are motivated. And I'm going to get my employees happy today, I'm going to do something funny and fun for them to acknowledge them. And if I give it away, then I get it back again. If I give motivation away, now I'm motivated again and everybody's excited.
There's a passage in Ecclesiastes that starts out, the first verse of chapter 11 is, cast your bread on the waters.
Uh-huh.
And essentially what that means is what you just said. If you give it out, it will come back to you.
I defer to you and the biblical references, and I trust you completely that that's true.
Well, my audience knows I don't thump the Bible, but I do. There are a few passages that are very motivational to me, and I know to them, and that's one that's that I like a lot. Cast your bread on the water, what you said in a modern day language is exactly what that meant.
And it really works, Jim, as you know, because I listen to what you advocate on your show, and that is, if you want to get rich, make someone else rich. If you want to be happy, make someone else happy. If you want to connect to people, help other people connect to people.
We've got about a minute. How do we get our employees to be motivated when we know they're in a slump?
The key thing is to acknowledge what's great about them. continue to remind them what they've done well over the last 6 months. Build that up. Always build up what's great, and then it'll turn them around.
No one's 100% wrong or bad. There's redeeming characteristics in everyone, right?
Right.
Help them, and when you're in a slump, you can't identify any of those for yourself.
That's right.
You've got to have help with that, don't you?
You do.
What are some...
Remind people how great they are.
Go back and pull out a specific example. Well, look, remember when you did this?
Exactly.
You know, what did you do then that made that work?
Exactly.
Go back and try that again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pull out a specific example and say, no, that's who you are for me. That's you.
Absolutely. Steve Chandler, you did a great job. Thank you so much for being here. We've enjoyed having you with us. I'm looking forward to having you back again.
Thank you, Jim.
And, folks, he is the author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, and that book's over 100,000 worldwide in 3 or 4 different languages. And also check out Reinventing Yourself. Steve, we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Got to go for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Talk America.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.